This week, political turmoil erupts in Senegal after the president postpones a crucial presidential election. Critics are calling it a coup. Where does one of Africa's most stable democracies go from here? Also, in Namibia, a nation coming to terms with the passing of late President Hage Geingob. The new interim leader says he won't run in this year's general election. What does it all mean for the country's ruling liberation movement, the Southwest Africa People's Organization? And what are the chances Namibians could see their first woman president? Straight Talk Africa starts now. Hello there and a warm welcome to Straight Talk Africa. We're coming to you from VOA's headquarters in Washington. I'm Heidi Adams. It is great to be with you. When Senegal's president Macky Sall announced last year that he wouldn't run for a third term in the 2024 elections, there was widespread praise from the African Union and from leaders of neighboring countries and beyond. His decision not to extend his decade-long rule signaled a break from the past, which had been plagued by political violence. But in a surprise announcement at the weekend, President Sall said the crucial February elections would be postponed. The move has shaken the West African nation's image of a politically stable democracy in a volatile region, and tempers flared on the streets of Dakar and among the opposition in Parliament. David Doyle from Reuters has the story.
Opposition politicians attempted to block proceedings on Monday as Senegal's parliament voted to hold a delayed election at the end of the year. It's a move likely to provoke further backlash and unrest.
This is not possible. They're stealing from the population of Senegal. Senegal!
Tensions are high in the West African country after President Macky Sall's unprecedented announcement at the weekend, postponing the February 25th vote. On Monday, lawmakers were discussing a bill that initially proposed rescheduling the poll to August 25th and keeping Sall in power until his successor is installed. But by the evening and just before the final vote, the legislation was amended to propose the even later date of December 15th. It passed by 105 in the 165-seat assembly. That's despite around a dozen opposition lawmakers rushing the central dais and refusing to leave.
Senegalese people, you have in front of you the enemies of the nation. They will ask for a contrary opinion on what has just been done. This is a constitutional coup.
Security forces intervened to allow the votes to proceed. Outside Parliament, around 100 protesters were voicing their anger. Police fired tear gas, chased demonstrators into side streets, and made arrests. This protester said Sall should not be meddling with the constitution.
Macky Sall respects neither Senegal nor the Senegalese people. He is here for himself and for his personal interests.
Sall said he delayed the election because of a dispute over the candidate list and alleged corruption within the constitutional body that handled the list. However, some opposition and civil society groups have angrily rejected the delay and accused Sall of trying to postpone his departure. The F24 platform, a large group of organisations behind past demonstrations, and candidate Khalifa Sall have labelled what's going on as an institutional coup.
De la déception, vraiment. On est déçus.
We are really disappointed by what happened yesterday at the National Assembly. It is unacceptable and inexplicable. As young people, we are at our wits' end because we haven't experienced a situation like this since 1960. In fact, it's more than a constitutional coup d'etat because it's incomprehensible.
The decision surprised us because he told us that he would not run for a third term. That is why we were surprised. Macky Sall disappointed everyone. We are tired because of the unemployment we are experiencing, and that is the work of Macky Sall. As I speak to you, I'm unemployed, and it's because of Macky. We've really had enough.
When your term is up, you must be a gentleman and relinquish power. Let the voters choose who they want as a leader. but what happened yesterday in Senegal, I will soon be 50. It's something I've never seen. And I think we couldn't live worse.
And those were Senegalese citizens there expressing their views to VOA Afrique correspondent Wahani Johnson Sambuso. So what now for Senegal, and what does this mean for the country's political landscape in a crucial election year? Well, for more, I'm joined by political analyst Rene Lake, who joins us via Skype. Rene, great to see you again here. This is a controversial move by President Macky Sall, to say the least. What does this mean? Because last year, this very president announced that he would not run for a third term. Is this the president going back on his word?
I don't know. Personally, I don't think so. I don't think that's the issue for him. The issue is more about something he has done in the past. And in fact, he had done almost for every single election, is to choose the opponent. So, and the landscape of the runners for this election was not to his satisfaction. So he had to redistribute the card and to change the different player, and especially knowing that all the indication was there that his candidate, Amadou Ba, the actual prime minister, had absolutely very, very small, not to say almost little to none, chances to win the election. I think that was really the issue. I don't think it's linked to his desire to stay longer in power. I really don't think so at all.
But this is, and part of this is about politics inside his own party. Is it fair then to drag the entire country through a process that the opposition now calls a power grab? They don't see this as just a delay. What on their side makes them say this?
Yeah, it's the experience they had with him before. He was, you mentioned in this report you had on the ground, that Khalifa Sall was very unhappy. Khalifa Sall was one of the victims of that. Macky Sall didn't allow him to be a candidate at the past presidential election. This time, it's not about Macky Sall. The whole issue is about the political party named PASTEF. Its leader, Ousmane Sonko, is already out of the running because he's in jail, and he was not accepted by the court, the constitutional court. But now is the other candidate they have, which is Jomai Fay, is maybe a worst case scenario for Macky Sall. And to his surprise, and that was unexpected, the constitutional court accepted its candidacy. So I think that was really the main issue. And for Macky, is how to make sure that no leader of PASTEF, that opposition party of Ousmane Sonko, could win this election. And all the indication was there that they had a very big chance to win the election. So for him, he was trying to prevent that. And the main reason is he believed, not only him, but also a lot of people in the army establishment, in the religious leaders, even in France, I have to say, think that there is a big Islamist component in this organization, and that's what they want to avoid at any cost.
But, you know, of course, Rene, we know that in politics, perception is probably as important as reality. In terms of optics, what does this move and the reaction we're seeing on the streets, especially in the opposition ranks, in parliament as well, what does all of that do for Senegal's image as the stable democracy in a very volatile region, an image that President Sall himself has been instrumental in shaping?
Yeah, it's a very good question, AD. I was very surprised, shocked maybe an exaggerated word, but really surprised when I saw Senator Ben Gardner yesterday calling the situation actually in Senegal, presenting it as a dictatorial move from Macky Sall. And Ben Gardner is a senator here in Maryland. For him to use that word dictator, I was kind of shocked. I'd never seen an official of any Western country using that word against Macky Sall. So it shows you how things have changed and how the perception of Senegal has changed. And of course, you have the State Department, you have other international organizations calling this some using a strong word like a coup, a constitutional coup, others saying that it's a big being stain on the Senegalese democracy. But everybody obviously are very worried about the future of Senegal and its democracy.
René, tell us a little bit more about President Macky Sall, the kind of man he is and the kind of politician that he is.
In fact, of course, in those kind of situations, it really depends on who you ask the question. So if you ask the question to supporters of him, they will say he's a visionary, he's a builder, he is a specialist of infrastructure. He put a lot of infrastructure in the country. So that will be on the very positive side. Now, if you go to his critics, they will say he is an autocrat. He has tendency of autocracy. He likes to, as I said earlier, to choose his different opponents. And when he knows that he has not a lot of chance or very little chance, it takes them out of the game. And so, but I think the main critics about him was a constant, since he's been in power, instrumentalization, weaponization of the judicial system. Because I know himself, he knows, and I remember just before he became a president, personally we had a conversation, and he was in the opposition at the time, and I asked him, are you afraid that the opposition will not be fair and fair for when you run? And he told me, oh, I can tell you, there is no way in Senegal you can cheat an election. When the election is gone, because he was Minister of Interior, so he knows something about it. So he believed, and he strongly believed in the system, that the system would be always fair and transparent. But what he does, he creates a condition before you get to there to eliminate his opponent. So that's something I think even people who support him are not very comfortable with.
We've got less than a minute here, just very quick. The Economic Community of West African States have really asked President Sall to reverse this decision. Do they have reason to be worried here?
Yeah, I think so, because the ECOWAS is interesting, because at first, Embalo in Guinea-Bissau was pretty, almost praising Macky. And finally, the day after, the tone changed, because the reaction was so negative in a lot of countries, not just Senegal, but a lot of countries, especially those Sahelian countries who have decided to leave ECOWAS. So I don't know. We'll see. ECOWAS has lost a lot of credibility in the past a year, I would say, even a little more, and especially with their politics with countries like Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. And so I think hopefully this is an attempt in their side to get back some credibility, I think.
Well, what a difference a day makes. We'll see indeed. René Lake, thank you, as always, for your time. I appreciate it. Well, bye-bye. Coming up here on Straight Talk Africa, as Namibians mourn the late President Hage Geingob, we'll take a look at his legacy and what is next for the Southern African nation. I'll speak to the paramount chief of the Herero people and a senior member of the ruling Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO. That's after the break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Life's challenges can be viewed as opportunities to grow, learn, and be the best version of yourself. By looking inward, personal development increases your self-awareness, your self-esteem, and your chances to fulfill your aspirations. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we'll be joined by a life coach to explore the journey of personal development and how it can help you cultivate a mindset of success. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
Straight Talk Africa, welcome back. Namibians are trying to come to terms with the death of President Hage Geingob, and tributes have been pouring in from across Africa and around the world. Geingob passed away on February 3rd, just weeks after he was diagnosed with cancer. Namibia now has an interim president, Nangolo Mbumba. He was sworn in shortly after Geingob's death. Mbumba says he has no plans to run in the election at the end of the year. Trevor Corral from Reuters has more.
A significant political shift is potentially on the horizon in Namibia following the death of President Hage Geingob in office. Geingob died age 82 in the early hours of Sunday after a brief battle with cancer. It was announced in an address by the nation's acting president, Nangolo Mbumba.
The president of the Republic of Namibia has passed on today. The Namibian nation has lost a distinguished servant of the people, a liberation struggle icon, the chief architect of our constitution, and the pillar of the Namibian house.
Mbumba said he had no plans to run in elections due at the end of the year. That opens the door for Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa, who replaces Mbumba as vice president. She was nominated by the governing Southwest Africa People's Organization, or SWAPO, just over a year ago to be his candidate and will remain on the ballot. SWAPO's constitution forbids making changes once the candidate has been picked 2 years before the poll is due. If she wins, she will be the Southern African nation's first female president. The party has ruled Namibia since independence from South Africa in 1990. Residents in capital Windhoek said Geingob's death is a big loss for the country.
He believed in equality, he believed in peace, he believed in all these qualities that a human being should actually live in.
Geingob leaves a middle-income Namibia grappling with post-pandemic economic slowdown, striving to surpass 3% growth, and addressing lingering racial inequalities from colonial and South African white minority rule. Under his leadership, Namibia became the first African country in 2022 to supply the European Union with green hydrogen and minerals crucial for clean energy.
And that was Trevor Corral of Reuters reporting there. Well, here to discuss the life and legacy of President Hage Geingob is Ben Mulongeni. He's the former Director General of the Namibian Broadcasting Corporation and a senior member of the ruling SWAPO party. That stands for Southwest Africa People's Organization. We hope that the Paramount Chief of the Herero people will also be joining us a little later on. But I'm going to kick things off here with you, Ben. We've seen overwhelming positive sentiments, memories across generations, across cultures, and across nations in the wake of President Geingob's death just pouring into Namibia. How would you describe the legacy that President Geingob left here in Namibian politics?
Yes, thank you. Geingob is a Namibian icon, starting from his early age. As a teenager, who left his country to join the liberation struggle in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and all the way to America, where he got educated. And as early as young as he was, already appointed by the president of the movement as the representative of the liberation movement while he was studying. And he took part in a campaign mobilizing the international community, the community in America, to support the freedom fight for Namibia. And those years, difficult years of negotiations, but one of those Namibians who aided Sam Nujoma steering the direction and assisting the art of diplomacy to negotiate the peaceful settlement of Namibia, where one came to the drafting of resolution and adoption of resolution 45. Remember, before resolution 45, the numerous hundreds of resolutions adopted by the United Nations, but it took decades for Namibia to get space. So Kinko played a leading role in that matter and was the first director of the Institute, United Nations Institute for Namibia, which was set up by the United Nations Council for Namibia. And he was the head of that institute that have prepared the young Namibians to get ready for the government machinery for a free and independent Namibia. And was the first to carry the flag to bring Namibia, the first group of Namibians, and set up the directorate for the election machinery, in which I also participated as a young person, as a young journalist by then. So that's how we remember him. So we are quite happy that we've been part of that chapter of our history. And he was the first prime minister of the Namibia, of the Republic of Namibia, having been the chairperson of the Constitutional Assembly at a very, very, very critical stage where many nations expect that Namibia will be caught in the civil war because of the, acrimonious differences between the forces that were fighting each other. I mean, the former terrorists by then of the liberation movement and then the former apartheid regime, forces. There was war here. Everybody expected there would be civil war. It was the case. Many countries immediately after elections or at independence, there were civil war. We remember Angola, remember Mozambique, and remember also many African countries that, we don't really give a big chance for success. And with the right to support, the American still going to do that. So King Cobb, he chaired the Constitutional Assembly that drafted the well-respected internationally Namibian constitution.
And I want to ask you, Ben, because I do remember, I mean, Namibia was just a few years ahead of South Africa and really could show what was possible for a liberation movement to come into politics. And I want to turn to the politics of SWAPO as a liberation movement, both in the country and its inside politics. This is a crucial election year in Namibia. Interim President Nangolo Mbumba has said he's got no plans to run. Now, Namibia's ruling party had previously elected the now deputy president, Netumbo Nandaitwa, as its vice president. So this essentially makes her then the front runner to lead the party into the presidential and national elections in 2024. Will that be the case? I mean, what are the chances that Namibia could actually see its first woman president now?
Well, the chances are higher. I'm reading from the way they handled the transfer of power after the death or the passing on of President Kenko. Yeah, many things could have happened, and many things may still happen. But from the way I read the movement, when Nangolo Mbumba was now appointed to succeed the late president, of course, there were chances that they could have elected the prime minister as per constitution or the deputy prime minister or any other person who is a member of cabinet to be the president. Such options were open. But when Nangolo Mbumba was elected, that shows that there's peace among the comrades. And Nangolo Mbumba, in turn, appointed Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa, who has been elected at the last Congress, 2022, as vice president of the party. And as per rules and procedures of electing political office bearers in SWAPO, it says that in the event when the sitting president is not tending according to the constitution because his term of office is coming to an end, the vice president is automatically the candidate for the country's president. Now, for the non, for Mbumba to appoint Netumbo as vice president of the country, and Netumbo has been waiting, they've been vice president of the party, and only now that she's vice president for the country. That tells me that science has that Mbumba will treat Netumbo Ndaitwa well. And I believe his words by saying he said it more than two times now, immediately, within a few days, that he's not going to stand. And he even said, don't panic, I'm not standing. Because the likelihood, typically in many countries, Africa in particular, it doesn't matter how old he is. He could just say, look, I'm standing. I'm standing for president. And then Nani Ndaitwa will contest. And then maybe if she loses, because he's the boss now, he's in charge. If she loses out, then there's no chance for her to become president, and there's no chance for Namibia to expect.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I just want to ask you to that point on what you were talking about now. Indeed, I mean, the interim president coming out saying so quickly that he would not stand, but then also just the smooth transition that happened. Any kind of transition like this, or a power vacuum of just 5 minutes, I guess, would strike fear in many in other countries, particularly on the continent. What do you think other countries on the continent and indeed in other parts of the world can learn here? What's the biggest lesson can learn from Namibia's democracy in this time?
I think that's what they can learn. They must look up to Namibia. And I mentioned this, and I'm consistent in mentioning it. Immediately, I was one of those who have been interviewed quickly after the passing of the president by our local radios. And I said, Namibia is showing a good example that power, because remember, in cases like this, immediately after the first was president, a few hours or even minutes, anything can happen. Some guys could just pop up and say, hey, wait a minute, we're in charge, until further notice. And there could also be a power struggle among the comrades. Remember, the ruling party had been experiencing a lot of squabble, a lot of infighting, which is normal in politics. But at this time in point, I think it's time for the different politicians and different factions to unite. And I can see that side. And I think Twapo cannot afford to lose that opportunity during an election year not to unite all the other comrades in the party so that they can win back. Remember, they have lost some seats in parliament, during the last elections. And the president also, Genkop, lost more. He went down from the two-thirds majority and was reduced. And Twapo also lost. So I think these are lessons that Twapo have learned. And these are lessons that Swapo can teach to Africa and to the rest of the world. Only I hope and I believe we must go through this one peacefully. And I that's what I see. I think they'll sit down and sort out their differences and look at the bigger picture. Namibia is bigger and Swapo is bigger. And Africa is bigger.
Well, Ben, of course, Namibia holds a very special place in my heart. As I told you earlier, I spent some of my childhood in that country. That country educated me. That country took us in during the time of apartheid. And so my thoughts are indeed with the people of Namibia. And we will keep following this story as Namibia heads into crucial elections a little later on this year. For now, I do want to thank you for your time. Ben Mulongeni, former Director General of the Namibian Broadcasting Corporation and a senior member of the ruling Southwest Africa People's Organization. I do thank you for your time. And that is our show this week. Thank you so very much for being with us. You can always find us on social media and more news from across the African continent on voaafrica.com. From all of us here in Washington, we'll see you next time. Until then, goodbye.